As we now have the two witnesses from the Old and New Testament, in the Old Testament, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, beginning in verse 17. Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 17. Hear now the word of our God. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. In the New Testament, if you will turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we will begin reading in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. You may be seated. Reverend Rickard?
Appreciate the opportunity not only to visit Providence Reformed Church again, but to be able to break the bread of life with you again. It's been quite a while, and there have been some changes in the congregation, but it's good to see familiar faces and those not so familiar as well. And I bring greetings from your sister congregations in Ashley, North Dakota, and in Hosmer, South Dakota. We are reading this morning from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. He is the Messiah who has come to engage His kingdom. And He is describing to those who are gathered before Him the characteristics of those who will be members of His kingdom. And so He tells us what they are to be like. He has given them some rather radical new things to think about, that they are not only to love their brothers, their sisters, their neighbor, but they are also to love their enemies, something which the Jews were not known to do. They enjoyed hating their enemies while they loved their neighbors. But Jesus calls them to a new standard, a higher standard, and He calls them to love their enemy as well as their neighbor. And in calling us to Himself, Jesus then is calling us to be radically different from those around us, from the rest of men. And He continues in this vein throughout this passage. especially here where he warns us about where we store treasure up for ourselves. And so the question to you this morning is, where is your treasure? Is your treasure on earth? We might wonder, is it wrong for us to desire earthly things or to have for ourselves earthly possessions? Now, what Jesus is doing is he is calling us to examine the desire of our hearts. We might wonder if all desire of earthly things is wrong. And there are those who say yes. There are those who say that we ought not to desire any earthly things, that we ought to try to minimize all of our earthly possessions. And so there are some who are Christians who abstain from amassing to themselves a lot of earthly possessions. They live very simple lifestyles. And they try to live as frugally as they can so they might have more money to give to the church, to help the poor, to help the needy, or to work in missions. And there are those who also not only live simple lives individually, but they live simple lives together on communes. In our part of the world, we have a number of Hutterite colonies. And these are people who have joined together in community and share all things in common. And so they have taken that path of seeing that they are not to gather together the earthly possessions for themselves. And so they live and work in communities. And a lot of them there are farmers. They have land possessed in the community. They live in community buildings. They work together with tools that the community owns as they farm the land. And all of the sales and proceeds are divided among them in some way equally. I'm not sure exactly how their communities work and the dividing up of the sales and everything, but they do all of these things together and they share these earthly possessions together. But the point I want to bring out is that they all need earthly possessions. Whether they live frugally as individuals or whether they live in community, they have land or they have a place to live. They have tools with which to do those things that they need to do. And so we need things. Especially if we are not going to be a burden to other people, we need to earn our own keep. And so we need to work. We need to have a place to work. We need to have tools to work with. And some of us need land to farm, whether that's communally owned or not. And some of us need a business to run, whether we run that business with others or whether we run that business on our own. Or we need a job to work at, a business to work in, someone to work for so that we can earn a living for ourselves and support our families. And our life on this earth will always involve possessions. It will always involve things. It's an error to think that matter is evil or things are evil, but rather Jesus is pointing to what fills our desires and where our heart is in all of this. And so we have possessions. We need to have a roof over our head. We need to have food on our tables. We need to have the clothes to wear against the cold, and we need to own God's Word and to have Bibles in our possession to be able to study it and to read and share with others. And so the material things that we have around us are necessary for us. But the point is, do you treasure these material earthly things? Or have you made an idol of the things of this world? And this is a tendency that we have as fallen men. We have a tendency to make idols of the earthly things that surround us. Have any of you ever bought a brand new car, or at least a car that was very new for you? And were you very careful with that car when you first had it? You were very careful and perhaps were on pins and needles when you were driving down the street because you were very much afraid of that first fender bender. You didn't want to damage this new vehicle that you had. Perhaps when you saw your kids playing near the car, you would shoo them away so that they wouldn't inadvertently scratch the paint, or perhaps put a dent in the side with one of their toys. And when you were driving this new car around town and you would go to the shopping mall, the supermarket or something, did you park away from everybody else so that there wasn't anybody close enough to open up their door and to put a dent into the side of your new car? Were you careful in maintaining that car and changing the oil and in washing it and waxing it and all of those things that are necessary to maintain its beauty while it was new? And when you do all of these things, you must realize that material possessions can become an idol for us. And that it's not only the things that we have, it's also the things that we do, our work, that can become an idol for us too. Now, whether our work is running the family farm, or whether it's the business that we run or the job that we work at, we have a danger of making that work an idol in our life also. Pastors run the danger of letting the work of the church keep them from important family members. And so we can make idols of the things that we have or the things that we do. And we can even make idols of the things that we don't have. There are many people who don't have much, who idolize the things that other people have. They envy those things. And so the poor can envy the possessions of the rich. The big fancy house, or the nice shiny car, or the big fancy boat that sits more often in the driveway than not, or the country club membership, or some of the other things that go along with wealth and affluence in our society. And such envy can take any number of forms. There are those who run out and spend what little money they have on lottery tickets, hoping to win it big so that they can buy their big fancy house or their big fancy car for themselves. Or it might wind up that they are bad-mouthing those who possess more than they do, just making themselves feel kind of better since they don't have what the rich have. That's kind of ironic that people who have things make idols of them, and people who don't have things make idols of them too. And why else would the TV program Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous have been so popular for so many years if it wasn't for the envy that we have and the idolatry of things? But yet, we have possessions on this earth, and we ought not to seek those out first. We are to seek our Lord's kingdom first and His righteousness, and we are promised that all of these other things will be added unto us. We have to have our priorities straight. And so we are not to seek after these things first, material possessions or the success or the wealth that other people have. And these are all temporal things, and they will pass away. The things of the earth will not last, our Lord reminds us. Moth and rust corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. All things that are on this earth decay, and they disappear. Even our life on this earth and these bodies ends. And so our bodies someday will decay and disappear themselves. We know that that old saying is very true. You can't take it with you. But even though we know this, so we still find many who amass wealth and property, although they probably don't think that they can take it with them, they certainly desire to leave it behind to their children, that they might have a legacy left for generation after generation. But that inheritance that they might leave behind can become an idol also. It can also be a way for people to think of cheating death, that the inheritance will last a lot longer than they ever will. Perhaps the inheritance is land or a building, something material that they hope will last behind them. Or perhaps it's a great fortune in stocks and bonds that they hope will survive for many years. But yet we know that The stock market has a way of eroding rather than gaining in wealth sometimes, and that even the buildings that we own fall apart. And the real estate values, as they are going up currently, yet they can also turn around and fall back down. And so even the inheritance that might hopefully be left to other generations has a way of disappearing. And we might wonder about all that we amass in this world and what it is worth. And Jesus tells us that it is only worth a little bit. There is something else much more important. So where is your treasure? Is it on this earth, which is destined to destruction, or is it in heaven? We might ask ourselves at this point, what does it mean to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Does this refer to our good works, which we do? Are our good works somehow stored up for us in heaven? Is every good deed that we do recorded by God and will be rewarded for those good works someday when we get to heaven? Now, there are probably some Christians who think this way. But we must remember that our reward is God Himself. It is God who is in heaven, and our redemption in Christ gives us eternal life, life lived with God forever in heaven. And even if God does give us rewards in heaven, those rewards aren't given to us because of our merit. What we receive by faith in Christ's merit. We might also wonder, some say that this refers to the souls that we have led to the Lord during our life here on this earth. And yet, we cannot really ourselves get one soul into heaven. Not even our own. We can witness that it is the Holy Spirit who draws that soul to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so, souls that are saved by Christ's redeeming work and not by what we said or what we did. And the good deeds that we do are simply our duty. They're what we ought to do in gratitude to God for what He has done for us. And so, even the witnessing that we do is simply our duty before God. When we obey every commandment, our Lord has told us, we are still unprofitable servants. For we have only done what we are supposed to do. And we haven't done anything more and above what we are commanded. And so we don't store up treasure in heaven by the things that we do. Our good works are not waiting for us in heaven. Well, then what is it that is in heaven? Well, God is in heaven. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are in heaven. The angels are in heaven. The souls of those who have died in Christ before us are in heaven. Do you want to be in heaven? Then place your faith in Christ and prepare yourself for life in heaven by becoming as much like Christ as is possible in this world, by being perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you do that by spending your time in prayer and in God's Word, where the Holy Spirit can continue sanctifying you, making you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Attend to the weekly worship in this congregation. Not because you will earn brownie points by coming here and worshiping on these Lord's Day mornings, but because in worshiping God you will begin that experience that awaits you in heaven. And you will begin in this life that which will characterize your life in all eternity. Jesus reminds us that the real question here is not, where is your treasure? The real question is, where is your heart? He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he gets us thinking about where our treasure is so that he can ask us, really, where is your heart? For Jesus is not concerned with what we treasure. He's concerned with our heart. Now, there are those who might ask you, have you invited Jesus into your heart? But that's not the right question. That's not the question that Jesus asks us here. The question is, where is your heart? Is your heart with Jesus? Or is your heart with the world? Is your heart set on heavenly things? Or is your heart set on the earthly things? What takes up your time? What takes up your attention? What takes up your hopes and your dreams, the things of this world? The things that are transitory, the things that will eventually pass away, or the eternal things? The eternal things like Jesus Christ, the redemption that He has wrought for you. God the Father who chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, or the Holy Spirit who worked faith in your heart. Don't give your heart to the world. Especially you young people here this morning who are just starting out in life. Don't make the mistake that so many others have done before you. Don't give your heart to your career. Don't give your heart to worldly success and wealth. Don't give your heart to the things that die. Give your heart to the things that live. Give your heart to the Lord. Most men are busy on this earth storing up treasures for themselves. You were like these men before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, but now you have left that darkness and you have come into newness of life. Jesus calls you to be different from the men and women of this world. If your treasure is in this world, then your heart will be in this world also. But your heart belongs to Christ, who is in heaven. So set your heart on things above, as the Apostle Paul tells us. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank You for these words of our Lord recorded for us here. And we thank You for that admonition to think about where we are putting our hearts. Whether we are concerned about storing up for ourselves things here on earth, or whether we are concerned about storing up things that have eternal significance. And we pray, Father, that You would continue to guide us and to direct us through Your Word and Your Spirit, helping us to set our priorities right, that our heart might be with You in heaven, and that we might think on those things, and that Your Spirit would continue to draw us closer to You, to conform us more after the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might become more like Him, more perfect, and that we might be better able to enter into Your presence forever and enjoy surrounding You in glory forever. These things we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.